Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, a wonderful actress and an author. And you've known her work over the years and so many things, but Little House on the Prairie, Miss Beadle, and Twin Peaks, and also it's just a tremendous amount of work. And always early on, I think there was a Waltons episode. I saw you in and all of that. But Charlotte Stewart is our special guest. Now, I'm going to try this. It's a long title, but the name of the book, and everyone should go out and get it. It's available right now. Go to Amazon, but go anywhere books are sold. Little House in the Hollywood Hills, A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Miss Beadle, Mary X, and Me. How's that?
That is perfect. I love it. You got it right.
Well, listen, congratulations on the book, and everything I'm hearing about it is just wonderful, and congratulations on an ongoing wonderful career.
Frank, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I have had a wonderful career. I'm one of the luckiest people on earth.
Yeah, well, luck has always has something to do with it, but talent does too. You obviously you've worked with so many different people, and you were selected by so many different casting people that it's a little more than luck. But let's do a little bit of your history, if you don't mind, Charlotte.
I don't mind at all.
Let's start from the beginning. Where were you born and where were you raised?
I was raised on a farm in Yuba City, California. My dad was a peach rancher. I grew up there, and I stayed there till I was 17. I left for Los Angeles to go to the Pasadena Playhouse. It was the State Theater of California. And I was just one of those fortunate people that within 2 years, and my first 2 years in L.A., I got my first professional Screen Actors Guild role on the Loretta Young Show. Do you remember that, Frank?
Yeah, well, I don't, but I know of it. Of course, I know of it, but
well,
she was an Academy
Award winner. Loretta Young was a big movie star, and it was one of the first television shows that had a big movie star as their main character. She did an anthology series, so it was different actors every week, and I ended up doing 3 episodes of her show.
Wow.
And from then, I met a lot of people, and gosh, I just started working. Back then, it was all the shows like Bachelor Father and My 3 Sons and Margie, and probably a lot of people haven't even heard of those, but that's what you did then. You did all this little episodic, kind of funny, fluffy television shows, and then I was lucky enough to get into all the other episodic television shows, FBI, Gunsmoke, Bonanza, Mannix.
Yeah, well, let's go back to Loretta Young. She won an Academy Award for Country Girl, if I remember correctly, right? That was with Bing Crosby.
Wow, I believe she did, and that was the name of the first episode of Little House on the Prairie that I did.
Was Country Girl?
It's called Country Girls.
No kidding, wow.
Yeah.
That's irony, or it's appropriate.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, you know what? My whole life is irony. I tell you, my friend used to say, Charlotte, you could fall down a manhole and come up with a set of dishes.
that's terrific. But, when you look at some of that resume, it's wholesome stuff. You said fluff, but, I mean, that's what was available at that point, and that's what was on TV.
Exactly. We had 3 networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC. There was no internet. There was no cable. All of that came later. Now you can have 1,000 shows on in a day and have your pick. But, network TV was really important then. That's what we all strive to be on.
Am I misremembering this, or did you meet your future husband on My 3 Sons?
I did 3 episodes of My Three Sons. I played different characters in every episode. And I met Tim Considine, who, when I was little, I had a huge crush on him. He was Finn and Morty. And I couldn't believe it when I was going to do a TV show with him. And I actually met him the night before I was to shoot on the show. We were both at a birthday party. It was a birthday party for a friend, and I looked across the room, and there was Jim, and I thought, oh, my God, he's so cute. And in 1965, we ended up getting married.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Even though we divorced in 1969, we are very good friends. In fact, he did the photograph on the back of my book.
No kidding. Oh, that's that's nice. That's something that the rest of us that are outside of Hollywood will never completely get, how people stay in friendships with their exes. But let me remind folks who just may be turning on the radio or who may be just tuning into us right now that this is Frank McKay, but much more importantly, is Charlotte Stewart. Is our very special guest, and so many people I think know you as Miss Beetle, but they certainly know you, you know, from the Twin Peaks series, which has such a cult following, has an amazing cult following. And again, the name of the book, and everyone should go get this wonderful book, is Little House in the Hollywood Hills: A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Miss Beetle, Mary X, and Me. Wow, what a title.
Oh, sounds exciting. I'll have to run out and get it.
Well, what's the bad girl part? I can't imagine you as a bad girl.
Oh, Frank, you know, I lived in Hollywood, you know? I was a small-town girl who went to Hollywood. I mean, how bad is that? No, I had a wonderful career, but I did have some pitfalls, and I write about it in my book. I had an addiction, and I have suffered from alcoholism, but back in 1984, I was lucky enough to have my friends bring it to my attention that I needed help, and I did get help. And I'm just hoping that if anybody who's reading this book and identifies with it, whether it's yourself or a son, daughter, father, mother, whatever, don't give up hope, because there's always help. You know, in any community, there's help available. But I did suffer through an addiction. Thank God I got through it. And today I'm very happy.
Wow, good for you. Hey, listen, congratulations.
I ran into an old friend of over 30 years, and we are now married.
Is he in the business? Is he in the business?
No, not at all. He doesn't get it at all. This guy is, his business is meteorites, you know, rock people.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world. So I go with him to his conventions, and he comes to me to Hollywood, and it's the best.
Is he an astrogeologist? Is that what he is?
He is a meteoriticist.
Oh, okay.
He studies, buys, sells, and deals with meteorites. And I mean the real Magilla. He writes papers for, you know, meteor magazines. He lectures at museums. And, you know, he's a real egghead.
Yeah, well, that's nice. Hey, listen, eggheads don't run around on you. You know, that's... he's not going to...
We have a great time. We go to rock shows, but it's not the kind you think of, you know.
Well, that's terrific. Congratulations on all of that.
Thank you.
But,
Thank you.
back to sobriety, congratulations on that as well. And so many people, especially in Hollywood and the business, have such issues with drug and alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
One of the things that came to mind, and I know you did a Walton's episode, at least one Walton's episode that I know of, and I've interviewed a bunch of the actors, actresses from the Waltons on this show, and one of the things that they all told me was that there was ethics clauses, you know, in their contracts, and because of course it was so wholesome, it was such a wholesome show, you know, that if, you know, here they are, kids growing up in the 70s, and, you know, God forbid you get, you know, seen with the wrong crowd, or you're on the back of a Harley Davidson, and you know, going down Hollywood Boulevard, or, you know, or whatever. And even though the paparazzi wasn't what it is now, but you know, there were these ethics clauses. Did you guys have that for a Little House?
No, we didn't. God forbid if we did, because half the time Michael Landon's coffee cup was full of bourbon, you know. Of course, we didn't know it at the time. But, you know, I've traveled a lot with a lot of the cast members from Little House, and I've heard all the, you know, these little kids, but they were very astute.
Yeah.
They picked up on a lot of stuff. But Mike was a great boss. And he really knew what he was doing when he wrote and directed and produced and starred in Little House on the Prairie. I don't know if you were a big fan, but in every episode you would watch, there would be a story for the parents, a story for the kids, and you would cry at least once. You know, he really knew his audience. So I don't care what he did, you know, in his personal life.
Right.
He influenced a lot of people with some wonderful television, and God bless him. We never really were close friends because he was my boss, and, you know, it just wasn't appropriate. But I remember going with him to Victor French's memorial. We were just just knocked out by the memorial for Victor French. I don't know if you knew Victor or knew anything about him. He played Mr. Edwards on Little House.
And also Touched by an Angel.
I don't know if I can say this on radio.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say it anyway, and if you want to bleep me out, you can. Victor French's attorney got up at his memorial and said, and it was held at the Jean Autry Museum, which is an open-air patio. So he said, I want you all to know that you were all invited specifically by Victor, because Victor knew he was dying of lung cancer, and he planned this whole event. And there was music, and there were three bars, and he had people to drive people home if they drank too much, and he planned every detail. And the attorney said, now, if you look up in the sky, there's a message from Victor. And we looked up, and there was a plane going over, and it had a banner. A lit banner that said, eat love, Victor.
Wow.
So Michael Landon was actually holding my hand at the moment, trying not to cry at this memorial. I thought he was going to break my wrist.
Wow.
I swear to God, none of us had cell phones in those days. We all wanted to run to the one pay phone there and call everybody we knew and say, look in the sky, look in the sky.
Wow, that is funny. That's terrific.
Victor he was great. I loved him.
Let me remind folks once again, if they're just tuning in right now, Frank McKay with Charlotte Stewart, actress, wonderful actress and author. Charlotte Stewart, and you know her work as Miss Beadle on Little House. I keep going back to that because that was a memorable, really memorable role, but also
thank you.
Twin Peaks, so much else out there. And the name of the book, please, everyone, go get this book. It's called Little House in the Hollywood Hills, A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Miss Beadle and Mary X and Me, which is heck of that's a mouthful to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, so how did you come up with
it? I'm in a new series now, the new Twin Peaks.
Wow, that's nice. That should be
but it's going to be on, and I hear it's terrific.
Well, it'll be more terrific if you are involved in it, and anything that you're involved in is
thank you,
is
Frank,
always so
thank
nice.
You.
A Race Ahead. Were you in A Race Ahead?
I was. That was David Lynch's first film as a student.
Wow.
I was one of the leads in his movie. There's only like five actors in the movie. I starred in it along with Jack Nance, who played Henry, and it won the film festival in Los Angeles and went on to win many awards. He was a student at the American Film Institute at the time, and my roommate Doreen was working as a volunteer there, helping, you know, with production. And she came home one day and she said, I'm working on this thing with this student. His name is David Lynch. He needs an actress for his movie. I told him my roommate was an actress, so I've invited him for dinner.
Wow.
So he came to dinner. He brought me the script. He said, great, you'll be Mary. And I thought, well, great, this will take me 4 or 5 days. You know, that's what student films usually took. It took 4 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Off and on. I was doing The Waltons. I was doing Little House on the Prairie while I was shooting Eraserhead at night.
No kidding. Oh, man.
No kidding.
Well, Eraserhead is a cult classic. And, you know, so many people, I mean, just like Twin Peaks, it's a different cult, but it's just like a Twin Peaks. But David Lynch, what can you tell us about your first impression of him?
Oh, I thought he was a little odd. First of all, he came for dinner with his wife, Peggy, and they, as a house gift, you know, sometimes you go to dinner, you bring flowers or a bottle of wine. He brought me a sack of wheat seed. I guess because I lived in the country. I was living outside of Los Angeles in Topanga Canyon, which is and still is a very rural area in Los Angeles. I was living on the side of a hill, and there was mountains all around me. So that's what he brought me, a sack of wheat seed, which, incidentally, we planted.
What, was it a joke, him bringing it to you?
No, he was perfectly serious.
No kidding. And you planted
and
it. How did it grow?
He was, you know what? I don't even know.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't really farmers. We just kind of threw it over the balcony and, you know, hoped it would take seed.
You know what you know what that would mean today on, you know, I don't know, on some kind of Twin Peaks auction right, or something. You know, the first present David Lynch ever gave Charlotte Stewart, who is our very special guest. Again, if you're just joining us, Charlotte Stewart is here. The name of the book, let me keep giving the name of the book. It is a mouthful. Little House in the Hollywood Hills, A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Miss Beadle, Mary X and Me. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, Charlotte Stewart. And you know her from Twin Peaks, which is very
exciting. Well, you know, Frank, I was telling you about David Lynch. You know, you asked about my first impression of him. You know, he was in his very early 20s, and he arrived. He had on a Panama hat, a straw hat, that had seen better days. It had a big hole in the top, and he was wearing two neckties. Wow. I found that he did this quite often because I worked with him for the next 4 years on Eraserhead. He always wore two neckties. He would wear his lucky tie, as he called it, and then he would wear a tie for the day. And they were completely knotted up with a button, top button buttons. And then there would be holes in both elbows where, you know, it had worn completely through. And, yeah, he was a character. Yeah. I love David. I mean, I was just with him a week before last. And, gosh, it was a joyful occasion. Everybody was celebrating. We were all so happy. And David looked great. And did you see, I don't know if you're familiar with this, what he wrote on the back of my book?
No, what did he write?
He wrote, Charlotte Stewart is my kind of girl, a talented, courageous actress, a loyal friend, and one who brings happiness to work.
Wow.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. Well, that's nice. And it's not the type of thing that you just, you know, that's not a normal type thing that you just say as a polite gesture. That's thought
out.
No. He put a lot of thought into it.
But then I'll read you the one that Neil Young wrote. Oh. Neil Young wrote, I didn't know Miss Beadle knew so much about sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
That's terrific.
So wow. I go from one extreme to the other, Frank.
Well, what's the relationship with Neil Young? Where does that come in?
Oh, gosh. Well, back in the early 70s, before Little House on the Prairie, I had a clothing store. It was called The Liquid Butterfly, and it was in a building on La Cienega Boulevard across from Elektra Records. And the building also housed the manager for Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Jackson Brown, Joni Mitchell. And, you know, we had rock and rollers in and out of my store all the time. And years ago, Neil approached me about being in a movie he had written called Human Highway. And it was a funny little movie. It was a nuclear comedy about the last day of the world. And Dennis Hopper was in it, and Russ Tamblyn. And it was a Devo, the band Devo.
Yeah. Wow.
And we had quite a good time.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I think Elektra Asylum was the name of the label, or the twin labels that were there. And I think he was on Asylum.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. You know what? I didn't follow it very much. I never used to go to concerts and things. I was in another world of, you know, TV and stuff. I didn't understand it all, but had a lot of rock and rollers through my store.
Well, you met him at a different point in his career that you met David Lynch. What was your first impression of Neil Young?
Well, that skinny guy with the high squeaky voice.
Yeah, right.
I knew him pretty well. I was at the time dating his manager, so I used to spend a lot of time going to. Now, he wasn't playing big concerts in those days. This was pre Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and you know, we used to go to dinner and stuff. And I'd go to, when he'd play the local clubs. Like, he used to open for Joni Mitchell, or maybe Joni Mitchell opened for him.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Wait, let me just do a quick timeline here. You said 25 years ago this was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 25.
Well, more than that.
Yeah, it had to be.
25 years ago is when we did Human Highway.
I got you. Okay, that makes sense. By the way, we're coming up on a commercial break. Do we have you for a second segment?
You do. Thank you.
Wonderful. I'm thrilled. Thrilled to have you. Charlotte Stewart is my very special guest here, Frank McKay. But much more importantly, buy this book, Little House in the Hollywood Hills, A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Miss Beadle, Mary X, and Me. Charlotte Stewart, you know her work. from Little House on the Prairie, The Waltons, and Twin Peaks, and A Race Ahead. What a resume this lady has, and it's still going strong, and just a wonderful read. Everything I understand about this book is it's just fantastic, and don't take my word for it. David Lynch and also Neil Young will vouch for it. We'll be back right after this with more with Charlotte Stewart.
Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, Charlotte Stewart, the author of the book Little House in the Hollywood Hills, A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Miss Beadle, Mary X and Me. Charlotte Stewart is a wonderful actress. And you know her work from Twin Peaks and Little House on the Prairie and A Race Ahead and The Waltons. Welcome back, Charlotte.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I think I misspoke, and I'll show you how much I watched The Waltons. But you were on. You didn't just do one episode of The Waltons, right? You did a run.
No, I only did one. The only episode I was in was their very first one. And they actually didn't shoot that as the first episode. But when they, were going to put their lineup on TV, they decided that was the one they wanted to introduce.
Well, that's interesting.
The family.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. You were in the...
I was thrilled.
Yeah, especially looking back and the success that show had. And we talked about the wholesomeness, and you were in Bonanza, and you were in, you know, a lot of shows that you think of as being... You know, being wholesome, you know, I mean, well, I'll take a race ahead out of that. You know, that was a different type of thing. Right. Yeah. But a lot of wholesomeness there. And you right in your title, it says Bad Girl. So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about some of these times. And again, you know, look, it's 2016 and we've become much more open as a society. How bad were you?
Well, at one point it got pretty bad. You know, I had a nice run on Little House on the Prairie. It ended, and I was still doing fine. You know, it gets a little thin. Work gets a little thin as you approach 40 for an actress in this town. And I'm not going to blame that. Not going to blame that at all. But quite frankly, what happened, I got a business manager, and he was handling, you know, all the things that I needed. I bought a house. I had investments. I had partners and stuff. And I think he used his addiction to cocaine to juggle money around with a variety of clients. And the end result was I lost my house. I lost all my investments. I had no money. I was in debt. And then he died.
Oh, man.
And I had no recourse. And I'm also not going to say that it was all his fault, because I was playing hard. I had a drinking problem, led me into a bit of cocaine use, which in the late 70s was extremely popular in Los Angeles, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
Almost any party you would go to, there was plenty of drugs and lots of alcohol. And I was, you know, skipping along thinking this thing would go on forever. And it didn't. And I moved to San Francisco thinking that Los Angeles was the problem. As many people do, you know, they're going to do anything except come to terms with their own addiction. And I came back from San Francisco, and my house was foreclosed. My money was gone. I had no income. It was pretty, pretty dark, and I really hit bottom. But I have a wonderful family, and I have great friends. And even though some of them tried to talk to me about, you know, I had to get help. I did not want to listen. And that happens to a lot of people who have an addiction or are going through an alcoholic, you know, period where they don't want to hear. It's like, it's none of your business. You know, it's my life and leave me alone. It's very common. But God knows, I finally got to the point where I couldn't ignore it. And I called up my doctor and I said, I have a problem with alcohol. And he directed me toward a rehab. That was in 1984. And I went in there and my family backed me all the way and my friends. You know, I came out the other side, and I'm just so fortunate because I've done so many wonderful and iconic television shows and films, you know, worked with Elvis Presley and Henry Fonda and Jimmy Stewart, Loretta Young. You know, it was just a miracle. So today I'm alive and well. I live in the Napa Valley with my new husband, and I just turned 75. Life is good.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it. And, you know, again, congratulations on that. Congratulations on sobriety. That's the big prize in the whole situation.
Well, I wanted to share it because there are going to be people who read the book who have either a problem themselves or a sister, brother, aunt, mother, father, son, daughter who are, you know, having problems with drugs or alcohol. And I just like to let them know that there's help available, that there's a lot of places to turn to. They're not alone. And if they can, you know, come to terms and be honest about what's going on, there's plenty of help available.
Well, yeah, that's so important. If anyone out there is thinking that they're alone, they're not. And
no.
There's so many high-profile people have battled.
But it's a dark hole to get out of. In the entertainment industry where, you know, everybody's eyes are on you and, you know, looking at every move you make and are so willing to criticize and, you know, there is help out there. And I hope that's why I didn't want to pull any punches in my book. I don't want this. It's not a fluff piece. There's a lot of humor in it. I tell you, I did a lot of funny things and I met some great people and had some wonderful adventures. And it's all in there too, but I didn't stint on the hard part.
She mentioned the book. I'll remind everyone to get the book, go to Amazon.com or go anywhere that books are sold and look for, and you can't mix it up with any other book, Little House in the Hollywood Hills, A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Ms. Beetle, Mary X and Me, and that's Charlotte Stewart, who is our very special guest. She is the author of this wonderful book, Frank McKay Here, Charlotte Stewart. You know her work from Twin Peaks and Little House on the Prairie, Eraserhead, The Waltons, you know, a little bit of everything out there. And she has played with some of the biggest stars out there. Let me bring up something, and I'm going to be very careful that, and just so you know, I'm being as respectful as I possibly can about this. But you're Miss Beetle, and you've been on the Waltons, and you have a wholesome resume. Now, in Hollywood, you know, there's vultures, just like there's vultures in New York, in Memphis, and everywhere else. And there are these guys out there. And now here you are battling an alcohol problem and a cocaine problem. Is it like a huge conquest for, I would imagine, it's almost a rhetorical question, but it's a conquest for these Don Juans, these Romeos out there to say, oh, I went out with Miss Beetle. I slept with Miss Beetle.
Oh,
I did this.
Listen, I can see where you're going with this, but it really wasn't that way. I'll tell you why, because when we were doing Little House on the Prairie, nobody cared in Los Angeles. They were too hip, slick, and cool to care anything about somebody playing a school teacher on Little House on the Prairie. I mean, and I did have a lot of hookups, but they were my choice. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, so that's good. Well,
choice. I don't think anybody ever took advantage of me or tried to, you know, go, whoa, look who I'm with. Because nobody cared, really.
Yeah, well, you're taking responsibility for your actions, which is incredible, and I think that's a big part of sobriety, right? I mean, you tell me. I mean, is that you know, the idea that you're not gonna push off blame? I've heard you say it a couple times in this interview already. You've taken responsibility for everything that's happened.
Absolutely. I mean, I would hate to think somebody that just thought that I was name dropping in my book, but these were the people I worked with. You know, if I was around rock and roll, that's who I was hanging out with. When I was doing television shows and, you know, Mannix or FBI or Medical Center, and the lead actors were handsome and, you know, well-to-do and were interested, that was cool too.
You mentioned Elvis, and you know, I'd be remiss not to bring up Elvis. Where did you work with Elvis on? What film?
I worked with Elvis on a movie called Speedway. I had a very small part, but it was kind of fun because it allowed me to sit all day long talking with him. He was a perfect gentleman, I have to say. This is really early, you know. He was doing all these silly movies, and he said, oh, yeah, So I'd never read the script. So I sing a song that I never hear again. And he said, I get the best car and the prettiest girl. And, you know, I'm just doing one of these after another. Of course, that's when Colonel Parker was selling him to, you know, doing all these cheapy, horrible movies. But he knew they were bad. He said, yeah, they're bad. But, you know, he was making money. But I really enjoyed talking with him. And I was there for 2 days, and he just couldn't have been sweeter. And I was agog, you know, because I was probably 24 years old when I was doing this. And he'd been a big star when I was in high school. So I couldn't believe that Elvis Presley was actually holding my hand and telling me about his mother, you know?
Yeah. Wow. It's so interesting. The amount of people, if you ever did the 6 degrees of Charlotte Stewart, it would be...
Oh, my God. Yes, you were. Well, you're now 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You are 2 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Right.
Oh, I did Tremors with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, you were in Tremors. That's right.
Yeah.
Didn't you, in Twin Peaks, you wore the smiley face to the funeral.
Oh, Frank, I got to tell you about that.
Yes,
it is so funny that you mention that, because that is true. I played Betty Briggs, the eternal optimist, who wore a smiley face button to Laura Palmer's funeral. And, you know, the day I did that, it was the biggest cast we had ever had, because everybody in the show was there on the set that day. Did Laura Palmer's funeral. Because, of course, the whole show is based around who killed Laura Palmer. And I got dressed, you know, it's all wardrobe and all, and they gave me this very, conservative suit to wear, and I'm there with my husband, Major Briggs, in his blue Air Force uniform, and at the last minute, I picked up this little happy face button, and I put it on my suit, and nobody noticed. Nobody in the show noticed. I guess because, you know, everybody was concerned about their own part in the show, and the director was too busy with, you know, 30 cast members to pay any attention to me. So I wore it in the scene, but the fans started writing and sending me pictures of happy face buttons, and people would send me a deck of tarot cards that were Betty Briggs wearing a happy face button, and if they went nuts about it. And now that's what they know about Betty Briggs, is her philosophy is you're never truly dressed without a smile.
Well, that's terrific. I alluded to it, at least, that the cult followings that much of your work has gotten is, you know, they don't necessarily spill over into each other. Twin Peaks has...
Oh, God, they couldn't be farther apart.
Yeah. I mean, they're really different. And Alison Ongren, I've had her on the show a couple of times. I've had her on the TV show.
She is a hoot, isn't she?
Yeah, she's wonderful. She really is.
I love traveling with Alison because we usually go off on some adventure. You know, we were staying at the Palace Hotel in New York. And it was like, what was the little girl that lived in the Palace Hotel, the storybook thing. I can't remember. Yeah. She was kind of in a mischievous little girl. Well, you had two of them with me.
Pippi Longstocking? No, not Pippi Longstocking.
Oh, something. No, I forget. Eloise.
Eloise. Okay, Eloise.
Yeah. It was like having two little Eloises in the Palace Hotel. We had the best time. And that was when we did the shoot for Entertainment Weekly magazine.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a paparazzi's lucky day if they run into you and Alison.
Oh, we went shopping. Yeah, she was going to be on the Today Show, and I wasn't invited to be on that. But we went shopping to get her some clothes, and I made her buy the hottest pink suit you could ever imagine. I mean, she thanks me for it now. But I thought, oh my God, they're good, because everybody on the Today Show wore black. It was just awful. And here's Alison shining like a star in the background.
Are you surprised that your star, the little star of Little House, went on to have a political career, or at least become the president of SAG? And again, you saw her from such a little girl, Melissa Gilbert.
Absolutely. I was surprised, you know, when she had become the president of SAG, because I don't know, I didn't know Melissa that well. You know, she was a little girl, and we didn't socialize that much. I followed her a little bit, you know, in the gossip columns and stuff. but she did a really good job.
She's got some ambition. I mean,
she does, and it's so brave of her. But apparently, she had a rather bad injury. I don't know, maybe 10 years back when she was traveling with the musical Little House on the Prairie. She played Ma in the musical, and she broke her back when she was doing that and had to be hospitalized. And then later on, just a couple of years ago, she was on Dancing with the Stars, and she took a fall and had another injury. And apparently, it's really coming back and bothering her. She's in a lot of pain.
Well, it's a shame. She seems like she's, she was heading in that direction. I mean it. When I mentioned political, I meant SAG. I mean, that's a political title when you become the president.
She's a very smart girl. In fact, all the kids on our show were very smart. Allison, I don't even know what her IQ must be, but, you know, she is extremely smart. And once again, somebody who is really busy politically. You know, she started out very young speaking out for gay rights, and now she has Protect, which is Protect the Children. You know, she's spoken in front of Congress. Those girls take their lives very seriously, and what they can, you know, do to help all of us.
Yeah, I'm always impressed with Allison, and she spoke out about AIDS awareness very, very early on. I think her husband on the show ended up passing from AIDS. Am I correct on that?
And yes, he did. Absolutely. Yeah.
And at the time, it was still, you know, it was still a scary subject. You know, of course, it's always scary, but it was a subject that a lot of people didn't want to take on directly because it was such a taboo. And I guess, you know, maybe, you know, whatever. But she dove right in there, Allison.
So yes, she did. She's very outspoken. And I wouldn't ask her political views because I never ask anybody. But I bet she'd let you have an earful there, too.
No question. Let me remind everyone that we have about 3 or 4 minutes left it goes very quickly. With Charlotte Stewart. We got to get a part two and a part three with you one of these days. But Frank McKay here with the author of Little House in the Hollywood Hills, A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Miss Beetle, Mary X and Me. And you know her work, again, from Twin Peaks, from Little House, A Race Ahead, all types of work. She's worked with everyone from Elvis to Jimmy Stewart. Where Jimmy Stewart? Where did you work with Jimmy Stewart?
It was a film called Cheyenne Social Club.
Oh, yes.
And he was partnered with Henry Fonda on that. And it's a wonderful movie. It's not a puff piece, but it's great to see these two guys together. It was really good. I loved Henry Fonda in it. Yeah, but I only worked a couple of days. But guess who directed it? Gene Kelly.
No kidding. Oh, I didn't know that.
Another icon. In fact, one day he invited me to go to lunch with a couple of the people in the cast and crew, and we walked down Formosa Avenue in Hollywood, and it's a dead-end street, and I said, Mr. Kelly, I took dancing when I was at the Pasadena Playhouse. Would you do this scissor step with me? And he looked at me, and we went down Formosa Avenue doing the scissor step together. It was like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and the Scarecrow or the Tin Man, you know?
That's terrific.
It was great.
Oh, good.
So
wow.
I can say I danced with Gene Kelly.
Yeah, well, right, and you wouldn't be lying, that's for sure. Well, I mean,
no.
Legends all over your career, legends.
Yeah, that's because I lived so long. That's why.
No. Yeah, that's early on. Listen, you could have disappeared 30 years ago and still had worked with Elvis. Elvis 40 years ago, right? 30.
A long time ago. I was still married to Tim when I did the movie with Elvis. That was in 1968, I think. 67 or 68, yeah.
Just terrific. And you've seen a lot of changes in the industry, and now, we have 500 television channels or 1,000 television, whatever we have.
Right. Not to mention, you know, podcasts and everything on the internet. And, you know, I could never have imagined all this. And not only that, the cameras that we used to use then, the big Mitchells, you know, they were huge things. And it had a cinematographer writing on a seat on it. It was enormous. I did a movie a couple of years ago where the director, cinematographer, used a little tiny Canon camera. I thought he was taking stills. He was actually shooting. I had no idea.
Wow. Yeah, there are films that have won Academy Awards that, for independent films that were shot on iPhones.
And I know.
Yeah, it's just
amazing. I know. I think it's fabulous. I would love to be starting out again today, with everything that's available.
Well, speaking of that, and again, you're 75 years yep. young. You're just married. You're clean and sober, which is just, again, congratulations on all of that. Yeah, you could stop right now and just say, boy, I had a great, wonderful career. But you got Twin Peaks coming up, and that should be very interesting. But let me tell you, I've seen pictures. I haven't seen you in person, but I've seen pictures of you. You look like you're 40. You look like you're 50. You're in such aww. Wonderful shape. And I'll tell
you what. Well, I'm active. I work every day in my studio. I don't believe in just plopping into a chair, although I will do it.
We're out of time, unfortunately, with Charlotte Stewart. Oh. Again, the author of Little House in the Hollywood Hills, A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Miss Beadle, Mary X and Me, Little House star and Twin Peaks star, Eraserhead star, Charlotte Stewart. Thank you very, very much for being here. Give us a website and a social
thank
media
you.
Site that people can kind of follow what you're doing.
Well, I'm going to be, I'll be in Facebook. Anybody can friend me on Facebook. You can write to charlottestewartbook.com, find out about my book and other things that I'll have available. It's a new website and I'm just, getting it up and running. So hopefully I'll have lots of stuff on there that will be fun.
Well, listen, it's been fun speaking to you. Just congratulations on everything. A wonderful, well-spent life, and it's still going strong. Congratulations on your new marriage with your old friend, somebody you've known for 35 years, which is always nice to hear as well.
Yep.
So
old friends are the best friends.
No doubt. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. And again, please promise to come back for a second and a third go at it, and we'll catch up on
all
of this.
I will. Frank, call me anytime. Love to talk to you.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Charlotte Stewart, again, author. I'm going to give it one last time. Little House in the Hollywood Hills, A Bad Girl's Guide to Becoming Miss Beadle, Mary X and Me, Frank McKay here. And our special guest has been the author of that wonderful book and actress. And please look it up, buy the book. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.